A very good evening to you wherever you are tuned in to the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. It is 17 minutes gone past the 6 o'clock hour. Welcome to the newsroom. It is a production of Nigeria Info's news department. And of course, this show is a dashboard view of the major stories we have brought to you in the course of the last 7 days or thereabout. And I can say those are also the stories that affect you. Today, we'll ask questions about how much really it is to run for political office, especially to run for the presidency. We'll be talking about concerns that some of you actually have, or most of you, I might say, have for the recent presidential pardons given to some convicted political office holders. And of course, we are going to talk about the unfortunate incident that has generated a lot of conversation. I'm talking about the saga involving Chrisland schools across Lagos State. These and many more will get us talking on the show, The Newsroom. My name is Ufuoma Egbamuno. It feels great to be back again. Yes, after I ran away a couple of days, but I needed that rest. Our Gobo is also here with me. Good evening to you.
Good evening. Great to have you back, Ufuoma.
It's not great for me to be back, to be honest. I want to be lounging on the beach and drinking coconut, and Sarafina will be getting angry every day.
Which interesting is what I told the listening audience, that that's what you had gone to do, that you had been off to the Caribbean.
You were selling me out.
Yeah, interestingly, he has a picture of him at the at the beachside. He had a straw hat, and the rest is left.
I really needed the vacation. And then to make matters interesting, I traveled to Warri over the weekend, you know. And on our way back, we stopped at Ore and had a wonderful, marvelous plate of banga soup and starch. My goodness. I'm still salivating from that food yesterday. I'll go miss, to be honest. But anyway, guys, let's get into the thick of the action. I did tell you that we'll be talking about, of course, we'll start with the issue concerning the general elections, or maybe let's start from the presidential pardons. Well, at the recently concluded Council of State meeting in Abuja, we saw that, of course, the president granted pardons to a couple of persons, 159 convicts, to be honest, but just two of them, you know, got a whole lot of persons, including you and I, talking. And that's because it included two former state governors who were convicted and jailed for stealing public funds. Joshua Daria of Plateau State, who was jailed for 10 years, and Jolly Nyame of Taraba State, who was sentenced for 12 years. They were both set free to return to their normal lives and possibly could seek elective positions and take up appointments. And I'm pretty certain a lot of us were not particularly pleased with that. We've been trying to reach human rights lawyer and former president of Committee for the Defense of Human Rights, Malachi Ugumadu. Do we have him on the line now?
Yes, we do.
A very good evening to you, sir. How are you? Welcome to the newsroom.
Thank you.
I can imagine. I can imagine how crazy that rain is. I was at that airport sometime July last year, and the rain was crazy. So I can imagine what you're going through right now. Okay, quickly, let's get into the thick of the action now. And I'll start by asking you what your thoughts are on the pardons granted the former governors, Daria and Nyame.
Well, I am disappointed as most Nigerians, particularly given the fact that one who has been very consciously committed to political events leading up to the conviction of the two former governors that you have just identified. In the first place, the government of Nigeria under the fundamental objectives and directive principle of state policy, specifically referencing section 15, subsection 5 of the Constitution, and expressly insist that Nigeria shall abolish all forms of corruption and abuse of power. So if that is the starting point, if the country has set committed to the campaign and struggle against corruption, it's a contradictory intent and root cause of that policy position. So now find that rather than granting amnesty, rather than granting the objective of mercy to the deserving Nigerians who may have committed out of inadvertence or mistake, people who were convicted of high corruption cases, people who had public trust and decided to abuse that and put their hand right in the teeth, cannot be shown potential.
Oh dear, oh dear. The phone lines were really not so great, to be honest. But like Malachi did say, he is actually in Asaba, held up at the airport right there, and it's been raining cats and dogs. But just as we're trying to get Malachi Ugumadu, who is a human rights lawyer and former president of the Committee for Defense of Human Rights, just as we're trying to get him back on the line, let me ask you, you know, at the end of the day, the government says this pardon really doesn't have any dent on the supposed fight against corruption, irrespective of what many Nigerians have been saying as regards that particular one. What do you make of that?
Yes, and interestingly, you know, the Jolly Iyame, former governor of Taraba State, Joshua Adarí, former governor of Plateau State, belonged to the class of the fourth republic, the first set between 1999
and 2007. Yeah.
I remember vividly when those governors had served out their two-term tenures, most of them. You had about 28 governors on the watch list of the EFCC. Mm. And then it had been the albatross on the PDP's government's neck to see how those 28 governors who had been indicted for corruption while in office would after the investigation happened, be tried. But unfortunately, didn't have that opportunity until Jolly Iyame and Joshua Adarí, and even before that, the former governor of Adamawa State, also, too, I remember very well, was also being tried. And I think eventually he was convicted and then did pay a fine. And then Gabriel Igbinedion for Edo State. So
it's a hallmark. You just mentioned Igbinedion.
Yes.
There was also the former governor of Delta State, James Ibori, who escaped it in Nigeria.
Exactly.
You know, but you know, had issues when he left the country.
Yeah.
There was also the case of Alame Seha,
very true,
the governor of Bayelsa State.
Yes.
So
who incidentally was granted pardon? I remember in 2013, and there was
uproar. I think it was even worse than what we actually have right now. And you know, I did listen to Temi Adesina, the media aide of the president, talk about how these guys were granted this clemency because of age and ill health. Mm. You know, I was asking if he was okay to allow these persons die in prison. You know, I mean, in my thoughts, I'm thinking, now this might sound crude, or this might sound like I do not have I do not have sympathy, but at the end of the day, those monies that they stole, the $2 billion or thereabout that they stole, some persons died as a result of that. No. Some persons could not get health care and they died. Some persons could not finish their education, and maybe they lost opportunities to make money. So why would you now use ill health and age as an excuse to say, oh, do you want the person to die? Hmm. For the love of God, the person committed a crime.
Hmm. Very true. I don't know if Malachi is back there now. All right, he's not back. I'm sure he's trying to find a way through. But the big question they're going to be asking is the millions or billions of naira that was used to prosecute both gentlemen.
Exactly.
Which was state money for donkey years. And then the convictions, like you mentioned, already secured, even up to Supreme Court where they appealed. And then to imagine that they had used also state funds to mount a defense against this, and at the end of the day, this is what the people.
Let's
have
not
to
also
do,
forget that the present chairman of the APC is also from that class,
yeah.
You know, and he also had some series of issues with the EFCC. But fortunately for him, he's never got to trial. It's really one that I do not know how the All Progressives Congress as a party would find a way to get out of this, because it was one of the campaign themes that they had against the former president, Goodluck Jonathan, where they said he was condoning corruption. And that tag did not leave President Goodluck Jonathan until he eventually lost the election in 2015.
Right.
But you know what? We'll most likely move on, as having difficulties getting on to Malachi Ugumadu. We'll move on the show this evening as we go to a very topical issue that got you all talking again, and of course on our various news bulletins last week. It was a big issue. I was on social media that evening, and I saw how, you know, for almost more than 24 hours the conversation was about 100 million and no 100 million. Well, we're talking about the high cost to seek political office in the country, because of course several parties, including the top ones, the APC, have set their presidential forms to the tune of 100 million naira, as opposed to about 45 million naira that the main opposition party, the PDP, has. It's not just about them too. We have one of the opposition parties, the SDP, you know, also having as much as about 30 million naira thereabout, you know, as its own presidential form. Well, this has actually made a lot of persons, including Ufuoma Egbamanu, ask the question, is our presidency for sale? You know, it's a big question. Is our presidency for sale? Well, the debate has been polarizing. Some have argued that the cost will actually separate the pretenders from the contenders. Maybe there's a point there. Maybe. However, their opponents say it excludes young aspirants and offers the tickets to the highest bidder. We will be joined in a bit by a board member of Yaga Africa. He's also a rights activist. His name is Ezenwanwa Ongu, who will be joining us on the newsroom this evening. You know, I'm just trying to get that connection. It looks like our connections this evening are a bit really not great. But I'll go, just as we're trying to get that connection on, it's obvious that if Ufuoma Egbamanu had any political aspiration,
it's tanked.
I'm not getting 100k from my car.
It's been truncated. And it's not just the president position, even for the governors, as well as for the State Assembly and the National Assembly. It's got a lot of people talking about just exactly how much it will cost them to save, to be able to get those tickets.
Mm.
And I've listened, and I've also watched online and offline the arguments rage on how this will sound. I mean, as sound as the arguments have been on the side of political parties, also been matched the same way too from the other side. The political parties say some of the monies are going to be used to finance the administrative costs, is going to finance the, I think it was the APC and the PDP who did say we have parties of millions of members, even though the membership has never been.
You know, so that's actually a valid question, because world over, it's party members who actually fund political parties, you know, by paying dues, you know, even if it's just 1,000 naira per month, you know, so that's 12,000 naira per year. If you multiply that by the supposed number that these major political parties, you know, claim to have, then to a large extent, they will be able to, you know, self-fund. But the question would be, if I was a member of the APC or the PDP, for example, why would I want to pay 1,000 naira
right
every month. You know, why would I want to pay that? What exactly am I benefiting from these political parties that would make me want to spend my money, you know, to self to help the funding of these political parties? So to a large extent, because they're unable to get these, they've now resorted to selling forms once every 4 years at very exorbitant prices, such that it becomes almost impossible for the average man, you know, to compete. You know, to a large extent, I remember President Muhammadu Buhari in 2014, if you remember vividly, when the APC pegged their presidential ticket. I think it was about 27 million naira thereabout. You know, right. He talked about the fact that he was too broke, you know, to actually buy that, it was very high. But he's the leader of the party who, 4 years after, increased it to about, I think, 45 million in 2019. Mm-hmm. And now it's more than doubled from that to 100 million naira. And it beggars belief.
Yeah, it's been on the increase from 2015. I was just watching the trajectory, and it's almost doubled. And then, who knows, maybe in 2027. We'd probably be approaching maybe half a billion naira.
It's possible. You never can tell.
And yes, and like the question you asked, so what happens to those who have genuine interest to want to contest for the elections? Will they be able to afford it? Even if, a number of people have mentioned in other democracies, they've been able to crowdfund the nomination forms. But it took them a while for that to happen, and many of the political parties, even the 17 others, also have their presidential ticket, even though it's a lot less than the PDP and the APC. Say the members haven't contributed to the post for several years, so this is an opportunity on the one hand to sell the tickets to the aspirants, but also on the other hand to raise funds for party activities.
Okay, just in case you just joined us, this is 99.3 Nigeria Info. It is the newsroom, a program produced and of course organized by the Nigeria Info newsroom department, and on this show we try to look at some of the big stories that we have brought to you in the course of the previous week, you know, to try to get thoughts and behind the scenes more input as to what we've actually covered. We have talked about the presidential pardons. Unfortunately, we were unable to continue that discussion with a human rights lawyer, Malachi Ugumadu, as a result of connections. And we've been trying to reach out to board member of Yaga Africa, Ezenwanwangu, and it does look like our connections today, the phone lines today are really, really... Yeah.
And I particularly would have loved to hear from Yaga because of their connection with the Not Too Young to Run
yep.
Act. You know, one of the biggest impediments they had said oftentimes was the age as well as financing. If you have, I don't know how many young people have those connections to be able to pull in 100 million naira.
So let's talk about Adamu Garba, the presidential candidate, aspirant from the APC. Right. You know, he's gone on to crowdfunding. He wants to raise. Well, unfortunately, I saw a comment earlier today. I don't know how true that is. I would really need to make the investigation to find out that that was exactly the same thing. You know, he did in 2019, crowdfunded, and did not buy a form. And so the question would be, if that allegation is true,
right,
what exactly did he do with the money that he allegedly got? Now he's asking for citizens to actually join in and pull in the money for him. The question would be, well, if he's able to raise 100 million to buy the form, what are his chances against the likes of Bola Ahmed Tinubu, Rotimi Amaechi, the Vice President Tshibanjo? What are his chances if we're being honest here?
I mean, that's the first hurdle he has to cross. The next hurdle is where he will get the money for his campaign, except he'd be depending on party machinery to be able to have. But we've seen over time that hasn't always happened. What has happened is that the party will have their DG, the candidate will have its own. The party will throw in some of the money into the post, but most times
it's from the candidate himself.
Yeah, the candidate's post that will finance all the campaigns, the ads on TV and all of that. But appears that we still cannot get Ezeoma Wagyu. But I'm sure that, you know, in the discussion going forward, because it's a big question people have asked INEC too, the campaign funding as well as the financial aspect of the elections, how are they going to be able to look at party A, B, and C to say the ceilings we have set, have you been able to make sure that those parties haven't breached those things?
Because the laws are there. It's just that we're not enforcing it.
True.
It's crazy. Okay, let's talk about the opposition now, the PDP. One of their presidential aspirants, Peter Obi, you know, has been going around talking to delegates and really talking about how they really need to, not look at persons who have lots and lots of monies, you know, but maybe really look at people who have ideas. But yesterday I saw a video, you know, on social media where the governor of River State, who's also a presidential aspirant, seemed to be like he was mocking Peter Obi and talking about how, well, that's not the language that that delegates want to hear. That they don't want to hear China economy, you know, or a trader, you know, and all of that. He knows what to do to get the delegates. Which brings me to the question: a lot of these aspirants allegedly end up bribing their way to get these tickets. Mm-hmm. What now happens, when they win these elections? Is that the reason we're seeing the kind of, you know, not so great governance that we see in the country?
Absolutely. And people have often asked that question. You know, how are those monies repaid? Are they going to be paid via appointment? Will they be paid via contracts for these people? It's often clouded in clandestine discussions. But I think that it's a question, and a valid question people should be asking. But looks like we have Ezeoma Wagyu joined in.
All right,
Ezeoma Wagyu, great to have you join us. I made lots of difficulty connecting with you, but thank you very much for joining us in the newsroom.
Thank you. I was inside the aircraft.
Everyone seems to be traveling today. Earlier on, we're speaking with Malachi Ogwumadu, and the same thing, he was in the airport finding his way out. But welcome, and thank goodness for the safe journey. So we're talking about the political parties who have set expression of interest and presidential ticket forms at tens of millions of naira, one at 100 million, another 45 million, and it goes on and on with the remainder of the 17 parties. What are your thoughts in terms of the cost of obtaining the presidential nod for the political parties?
Well, thank you. I think my I would prefer to start by saying that it's within the remit of political parties to determine the cost of their nomination forms. And the only challenge for me is that we've not been able to bring them into conversations about reforms of their own internal processes and how their actions impact on democracy, whether it expands or constricts it. So we've been investing in other institutions, the INEC, the security, but we've not put that level of investment, advocacy in ensuring that political parties realize that they are public institutions and that the decisions that they take will impact, on the polity. So if we are thinking about expanding the democratic space, increasing inclusion and participation, and then you put this level of bottlenecks and hindrances on participation, then it is a huge issue. But who is protesting? That's the challenge. The members of these political parties don't seem to be involved in the conversation that myself and you are having right now. Those who want to run elections are preparing their money, claiming people are contributing for them. But when we scale that, we should be able to have much more deeper conversation about what kind of political parties do we want to have. Are they parties that are truly democratic, that are inclusive, or parties that are exclusionary, that are owned by just deep pockets and the rest of them? Those are the challenges that I think we face.
Okay, Mr. Zenwa, a very good evening to you from my here. My thoughts would be that some parties have argued that the funds that they're going to get, you know, would also take care of some administrative costs and all of that. Do you share this sentiment by the parties?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That they have not overstepped their bounds in determining. It's like a family determining that, okay, as members of this household, we want people to don't stay late more than 10 p.m. or 8 p.m. or 11 p.m. It's a family decision. Well, how does that impact? How does that your decision impact whether they use it for administrative costs or not? At the end of the day, they still will rely, if they form government, they still rely on resources from the public field to run those political parties. The governors run those parties. That's why they have the kind of powers that they have. The villa runs those political parties. That is why everybody will watch for the wait for the president to determine whether a caretaker will be elected. I mean, a new neck will be elected or not. It is the piper determining the tune. So reality is that internal governance mechanisms within the political parties are not democratic. They are not inclusive. They are not thinking of, you know, young people, the vulnerable groups, women, you know, participating in a way that expands this democratic experiment that we are having in the last 20 years. So for me, the argument as to administrative cost, if you take 100 million and you are paying rent, for instance, How much of that will, at the end of the day, you pay salaries and all the rest of them? You still will have to depend on, you know, this officer. People don't pay party dues. There are no party dues. Nobody pays membership dues in political parties. Everybody that attends a congress is ferried to that place by a deep pocket or a chief executive. So the political parties are owned by this Muslim man, if you permit the use of that word, you know,
real Muslim man.
The people themselves are not contributing to debate or even actions within those political parties because they are not financially committed to the political party.
Right.
The fluidity, the nature of and fluidity of membership is also a problem. You can be APC in the morning, you can become PDP, you can become SDP in the next day. So you can't even say who is a member of which political party right now.
Okay.
All right. It's a rolling conversation, and I'm sure that as usual, you will continue to contribute to this national question about the sort of elections we want for ourselves and for our children. Thank you very much, and I'm sure you have a journey to make back quickly. Thank you very much, Ezinwa Wagu.
All right, that would be a cue to move on the newsroom this evening. Remember, it is 99.3 Nigeria Info. The show is called The Newsroom. It comes your way every Monday from 15 minutes past the 6 o'clock hour, just immediately after the news. And of course, up until 7 p.m. or thereabout. And on the show, we try to take a quick look and critical look at some of the big stories we've brought to you in the past week. My name is Ufome Igbamanu, in case you were wondering. And I've got Aogo Obu on the show. Well, let's move on to our final topic of the day. The Christian schools in Lagos have reopened, and that's following a directive from the Lagos state government. In case you've been in planet Mars or maybe Jupiter, somewhere in Venus or Venus, how do they pronounce that word again? I'm not so certain, but you know what I'm talking about. In case you've been there, maybe you don't know what's been happening. Well, a sex scandal by its students during a visit to the United Arab Emirates is still being investigated. But because of how weighty the issue is, it's something that has dominated conversations over the past 10 days or thereabout. Well, as it is right now, the safety of children and the role everybody, including you and I, have to, if I have to be very honest, people, I have a 4-year-old son and a 2-year-old daughter. And to be very honest, that incident has brought into focus for me some of the challenges we have as parents, you know, dealing with school authorities and the things our children do in school, and some of the things we also have to do as parents to be able to ensure that our words do not, you know, go astray or do things they are not supposed to do. We're trying to reach Abdulganiyu Abubakar, who's the chief executive officer of Save the Child Initiative, and we want to talk about what the role of each and every one of us, parents, guardians, you know, teachers, and of course, the safety of these our children. That's what we want to talk about. Hopefully, we're able to get Abubakar on the show this evening. But just as we're trying to do that, I'll go, we're both in the same shoes. Yeah, a parent. You've been doing that far more than I am. I just got into the saddle just about 4 years ago, but it's quite challenging, to be honest.
It is quite challenging. I'm looking quickly for a message someone sent. And good. And I'm going to read, because this discussion has been going on offline also too, like several other discussions with several angles and dimensions to it. And this was someone's response here. I said I was going to read this here. He said, there's nothing wrong with Big Brother. It is for adults. Let's take responsibility for our lapses and not look for one thing or the other to blame it on. Her parents failed her. The school failed her. Everyone who shared the video on social media failed her. It's just like corruption. We all complain, yet when given the chance to do it right, even in the simplest things,
we're doing
so
worse.
Blind to recognize that it's a call to do it right. We join the bandwagon and fail again and again. We hardly take responsibility. It's always something else or someone else but us. And it's true. Everyone somehow did not do what was right.
I totally agree with you. And I will say this again. I agree with the message you sent. It's really not... Big Brother is rated 18.
Uh-huh.
Why on earth is a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old watching?
Huh.
Why? You know, we have to answer that question ourselves. Mm. Why on earth are you giving a 7-year-old a phone? And even if you do, why are you not restricting? There are several ways, you know, to restrict whatever content it is that the child, you know, such that you can actually get notifications of whatever it is the child is using the phone for.
Yeah.
Why are we not doing all of that? And then again, let's also not forget the fact that a lot of these present day schools, you know, do not allow teachers to actually... take responsibility for these children. And by take responsibility, I mean correct these children. You know, you see certain parents go to these schools to threaten, shout at, you know, such that even the teachers themselves, you know, start getting sack threats, you know, for just trying to caution children. So to a large, my wife is a teacher, you know, and I know the kind of complaints she's actually brought home a couple of times, you know. So it's an endemic, it's a problem that unfortunately we all have to share in this particular responsibility. Maybe we'll just throw the phone lines open. Unfortunately, the network so bad, we're unable to reach our guest who was supposed to talk about this particular issue. So let's go to the phone lines and hear what you guys have to say on the issues we've talked about today. The issue of the Chrisland School, the issue of high cost of political office forms, and then, of course, the presidential pardon. 0700-993-993-993. That is the number with which you can reach us. Let's keep our thoughts short, simple, and straight to the point. We don't have so much time. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening, Foma.
Hi, good evening to you.
Yeah, this is Friday.
Okay. Welcome, Friday.
Yeah, I want to react to those people that were pardoned, Foma.
Go ahead.
They may be by tomorrow. Those people, they come back to contest as a senator. Don't think they can contest as a government again. They want to be the law say about them. Will they be able to make law if they bring it corrupt? They make win election to Senate.
Friday, as far as the law is concerned right now, they are free citizens. They can as well contest.
If they bring a corrupt case to them in the chamber of the Senate, how will they debate about it?
Well, they've been told to go and see no more. Friday. Thank you very much for you.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to the newsroom.
Good evening. This is Adeshewa from Ikorodu.
Welcome.
Good evening. Yes, I'm actually on that Christmas and side of everything.
Yeah.
See, for my, let's look at it this way. Mm. The parents, the society, the government, and the teacher. Before it gets to the teacher, those three have already failed.
Mm.
I'm telling you. Mm. They have already failed. I'm a teacher.
Oh dear. It would have been great to actually get sometimes when you get experiences from teachers, you just wonder. Hello, good evening to you.
Hello, good evening. This is Moses calling from Lekki.
Welcome to the newsroom.
Totally, that word is wrong. Big brother rated 18 or don't rated 18. Mm. Big brother is okay. Bluefin is okay. Forget all these things.
Point of correction, Big Brother is not Bluefin. They're not the same.
I'll just give you an instance.
Okay.
If it's okay, Bluefin is okay.
Well, it's now, okay for adults if you want to watch.
The truth is this. The world we are in today, we think we are getting advanced. We always call what is evil, we call it good.
Mm.
Why will you call Big Brother good? Let me tell you, what is bad is bad. Everybody that posted it, did wrong. It's just like somebody dying and you took out your phone and start videoing instead of saving their life.
Mm.
But even the Big Brother 2 is bad.
Right. Okay, let's not make this conversation. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, we just brought that as an example. But then again,
it's rated.
It's not just rated. It's a program on cable TV.
Yes.
You don't have to watch it.
Yes.
People pay for subscription to watch it.
There is what is called adult entertainment.
Exactly. So it's a choice. If you want to, fine. If you don't want to, also good. Final call. Hello, good evening. Hello, good evening.
Hello.
Good evening. We can hear you. You've got 30 seconds.
No, today is calling. My own thing is the kids are in school. If parents fail, I will get parents on this.
Okay.
Because the children learn from parents.
Mm.
Once the parents learn from their children, whatever they learn from their children, they will surely be taken as an example.
Thank you very much.
All right, but just on that, just to also let you know that investigations are all currently ongoing. So,
I like what he said, it takes a village, they say, to train a child, which means every one of
but
us.
But our God, that's how we were trained, though.
Yeah, you know.
They're not born you where many neighbor day, you go to do rubbish. If your parents are not around, you know, your auntie or the neighbor would ensure that you take correction before your parents come.
Yes.
But today,
we need to get back to those times.
Okay. Well, guys,
we have a flight to catch.
Yes, we have a flight to catch. I have to go take my dear, beautiful wife out this evening. It's our last day in Lagos before she jets out. I was already yabbing me that I will now go back to concussion food. Guys, it's been great doing this with you. We'll be back again next week, Monday, 6:15, for another fantastic edition of The Newsroom. Until then, here's our Ogo Obu, and I am Ufumeik Bamunu. Stay safe.